Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for the opportunity to study and know more about you. We ask for your guidance and your leadership as we read your word, that you take us where you want us to go, opening up our hearts and minds to receiving all that you have for us. We pray also for the speaking on the word, that too is pleasing and honoring to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 199, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed. For I know the one in whom I put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of God for the people in God. Thanks be to God. When I read Paul, when Paul talks about the gospel and what Paul does in order to serve the gospel, there is an impression of the gospel that I get. And that impression is the gospel's hard. Paul talks a lot about suffering, talks a lot about what it means to follow Christ and how Paul was a prisoner, and that his life is not easy because he decided to follow Christ. He's been through a lot. But I also get something else about Paul, and that's he loves serving the gospel. He knows it's hard and that it's difficult and that it's brought him a lot of pain and a lot of challenges, but he's happy for it. He would do it all over again if given the chance. Why is the gospel hard? Well, the gospel's countercultural. It's not what this world's used to. It's not, doesn't follow the same rules as what this world follows. It's about forgiveness, not holding grudges with those who wrong you. It's about loving, not just loving your family, not just loving your friends. It's about loving strangers. It's about loving enemies. It's about belief and faith, not belief and faith in things that we see and that are clear, but in things that we don't see. It's about believing in Christ. It's about believing that once we die, there is life everlasting. It goes against much of what this world teaches. Living the gospel's hard. Paul's talking to Timothy about this. Now, I love the relationship between Timothy and Paul. I was once told when I first started ministry that in your life, you should, at one point or another, play three different roles. You should be a Barnabas to somebody's Paul. Barnabas and Paul were travel companions. They worked together. They loved one another. They supported each other. They encouraged each other. They were equals, going through life, doing the best that they could, and supporting one another in the midst of that journey. Everyone should have, at some point in their life, a Barnabas, somebody who walks with them, encourages them, talks with them, supports them, and you support them. You should have a Paul to your Timothy. You should have a mentor, someone that you can look up to, someone that you can gain support from because of their wisdom, because they've gone before, because they understand what life is like. They know how difficult things can get, and yet they can give you what you need in order to move forward. We should all have a mentor in our lives, someone to look up to, someone to respect, and someone to help us when things are tough. We should also have a Timothy to our Paul, someone that we can raise, someone that we can support, someone that we can love and help through the difficulties of life because we've been there, because we know what it's like, because we can help them through because we have the strength and the knowledge that they might need. And I love reading Paul and Timothy. This letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, it seems that in Timothy is a young man who's been through a lot. He's got the skills, he's got the love, the sincerity, he has the faith, he's got the calling. He's got what he needs in order to get through in life and to do the ministry that God has called him to do. But he's young. And he's afraid. You see, he traveled with Paul throughout Paul's ministries and journeys. But when Paul became a prisoner, Timothy left to go and do his own thing. And when Timothy left Paul, he became afraid and lost his way. Didn't know how to move forward anymore. Paul caught wind of this, maybe through a letter from Timothy. Have you ever wrote those letters to someone else or talked to someone else? I can't do it anymore. I feel lost. I feel afraid. You ever have those periods of life? The world is crowding in on me and I can't get up underneath it. I feel crushed in on all sides. I can't walk forward anymore. I imagine that Timothy sent this letter to Paul. And Paul sent this letter back to Timothy saying, Timothy, I know who you are. I know the strength you have in your body. I know your strength of spirit. I know your grandmother and your mother and the strength and the love for Christ that they showed. Timothy, you got this. You can do this. And besides, God didn't give you a spirit of cowardice, of timidity. God gave you instead a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I hear Paul telling Timothy, you got this. How many of you are familiar with The Bold and Beautiful? It's a soap opera. It airs at 1:30. It'll be on tomorrow if you're interested. Do you know what season they're in, The Bold and Beautiful? What's that? 35th. The 33rd. Yeah, they're on their 33rd season. I wasn't familiar with The Bold and Beautiful. Growing up, I was familiar with Guiding Light. That was mine. And when I say that was mine, I mean that was my mom's. And I always got home from school. Guys, it was a later one. It was like at 4 o'clock or something. And I would watch it with her, Guiding Light. Reba was one of my favorite characters. She's on forever. You know, those shows, the soap operas, if you're familiar with them, they're silly. I mean, they really are. They're caricatures of life. They're not real life. It's caricatures of life. When I think of The Bold and Beautiful, when you look at that group of people, it's based in L.A., and it's based around the fashion scene of L.A. So most of your people are economically in a much higher class than most of us. They're all very beautiful without, you know, any kind of issues that you can think of. You know, I mean, they all mentally have issues, but they're all very well off and have the best that life has to offer. But the one thing, if you could admire anything that they have, it's right there in the title, their boldness. Now, they're bold to a fault. There's no filter on any of them. They'll speak their mind and do whatever they want, oftentimes without the spirit of love or some kind of weird facsimile of what love is supposed to be. You take that boldness and the bold and the beautiful, and that's what God's calling us to, a boldness of life, to live the life that God has called us to live in the spirit and truth that the Bible has laid out for us. Remember the countercultural things, the love of the enemy, the forgiveness of sins, the helping when the world tells you not to. Christ gave us a spirit of boldness to live those things, of power, which is tempered by love, which is guided by self-discipline in our own lives. Oftentimes we say to the Lord, "Lord, I can't do it. I don't have enough of what I need." And God says to us, as Paul says to Timothy, "You have enough. You can do it. You can do it with what I've given to you. Go and do it boldly. Do it gladly." So I ask, what did God give us? What is it that we have in order to face this world with boldness, with love, and with self-discipline? Well, we have this. Nothing less than the body of Christ. Nothing less than Jesus himself.